T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Oh, Channing's dancing right now. He's dancing because we are going to give away, or try to give away, or help people with their chance to win $1,000 ballpark cash on the ticket, $1,000 home run on the Joe, $1,000 for you to spend wherever you want. This hour's word is brand. That's brand. Text it to 72881, and you are entered in the contest. You just might win $1,000. Text the word brand to 72881, and you could be $1,000 richer. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Sponsored by Anna Jar and Levine, Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Solana?
See that brand, Joe? See that dollar sign?
I see that. Why did you do that?
Yeah, when I was 11 years old, me and my buddies, we took hangers and we, you know, manipulated them with a screwdriver and pliers and made a dollar sign, an S and two lines, put them on the oven eye, and branded ourselves.
And as my father would say, Channing, whatever possessed you.
It was the dumbest decision of my life, Joe. Yes, why the hell do I have a burned on dollar sign on my chest? I don't know, Joe. I was 12 years old, 11, 12 years old. I was dumb.
Oh, my God. That's three things today.
What'd Randy say?
Why would you do that, Chan? That's not smart. But he has a brand. What started, you know, the fraternities brand themselves. The Qs and the Zetas and all, they have the brands. The frats have the brands. So my dad's a Q. He had a brand. I was like, it's a brand. It can't hurt that bad. It hurts like hell to burn yourself. Yeah,
I'm sure it does. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, if you light a match or you're on the stove, you pick up a, you know, something hot off the stove.
Yeah.
That's probably going to ruin your dinner.
Yes, yes. And see, I completed it because I have the S and the two lines through my dollar sign. My buddy, his name was Daniel Bruner, I believe. He tapped out with the S. So now he just has an S on his chest and has no lines.
So you had to do that like twice.
Three times. Because you had to do the S and then the two lines going through it. So I was, you know, I'm a man. I'm going to finish my dollar sign.
You know, that's a remarkable story of Channing Crowder, that you are here as a successful talk show host after finding a way to what's the word I'm looking for here?
You're trying to be nice right now. I understand it. Thank you. After doing idiotic stuff.
How did you, like, did you immediately say, ah?
I screamed. Yeah, that's the man way to scream. And then.
Did some ice, but didn't, aloe.
But, no, but something. You had to go back to back. I couldn't put the S now and do the lines 2 days from now because it's going to be all swollen. So I did the S, and it sizzles too. Then I had the line. And
skin kind of, yeah, that happens.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It hurt like hell.
I bet it did. Okay.
Let's do it, me and you. Let's figure out.
No, nope, I'm good. Okay. I'm good. I'm good. Very good. That's quite all right.
A D for Davy. We both live in Davy.
We do live in Davy.
So we can both get D's on our shoulders.
Is that like being when you were blood brothers?
Yes. We'll be brand brothers.
How about we just do elbows?
Oh, we brand our elbow?
No. You've got some artwork there, too.
Yeah.
You got a, what is that, a spider web? What is that?
Yeah, it's spider web on my arm.
Why did you get a spider web?
I thought it looked cool, and then afterwards I found out that's when you killed somebody in prison, you get the spider web. So I didn't I didn't kill anybody, Joe. Okay. I'll break that to you.
Thank you. I'm glad to know that. I feel very good right now. You have, what's the other, pride?
I got, let's see. It says God's gift.
You are God's gift, that's for
sure. Yes, I got the gator right there. I know you like that one, Joe.
I don't even recognize that.
Can't lose, won't lose. I have my mom's initials in Chinese letters, but I found out it means, what was it, house?
Hold it. Hold on. Do we have to be in delay for this?
I was like, no.
Extra delay?
It's like house, tomahawk house or something. It doesn't mean, it's not P-E-P, which my mom's initials. It makes no sense, but it looks cool, so I got it.
Looks like you got is that a football or is that
a football? That was the old 18-year-old tattoo. It says can't lose, won't lose on it. Yeah, I got some silly stuff now, Joe. But you get a whole sleeve, it just all molds together. But it's some dumbass tattoos on my body.
Yeah. Well, the branding is... pretty good story.
Pretty dumb. I got no fear over here.
Did you have no fear tattooed before you? That was after you got branded.
Yeah, but it was just dumb. Remember the no fear? It was like a hat people wore with the little red eyes and all. They should move it to 25. A lot less people with tattoos because you have more sense. 18? 18, you're an idiot still. I was an idiot at 18.
Oh, you have to be 18 to get a tattoo?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yep. I got two tattoos.
I'm learning a lot here today.
The day I turned 18, I got two tattoos.
I'm going to call you Professor Crowder.
I'm
learning a lot about life today. Chocolate.
What tattoos, chocolate is, tattoos,
branding,
gonorrhea.
Yeah,
we're going through it all,
been,
Joe.
It's been quite an exciting hour. Solana, what do you have for me? Let's just skip the headlines. You have some exciting questions for me, or do we not have enough time?
I don't know if we have enough time to get to those right now. Plus, Joe, as much as I would love to skip headlines, I have sponsorship.
Oh, that's right. I should know better.
Yeah, I know you're trying to get me fired because I'm unprofessional and I've contributed nothing over the past 48 hours. But
my shoulders are getting tired from the lifting.
I would at least like to get these sponsorships in.
They told me I could come in here and coast.
No coasting.
Yeah, no coasting.
Yeah. Well, right, I coasted instead. I coasted.
Well,
and
Channing, you coast and Channing was roasted.
Look at Joe. You do have bars. I was arriving there.
This report.
Channing has mangled himself. Here's Solana.
This report is brought to you by Rubenstein Law. Injured in a car accident or slip and fall, call Rubenstein Law, 1-800-FL-LEGAL. They're also open on weekends. I'll just run through these really quickly, okay? Because we've discussed them pretty much all show long, and we'll do so again in the 5 o'clock hour. But tonight, Game 6, Hawks Sixers, 7:30 p.m. Can the Hawks close out the Sixers at home? And then following that at 10 p.m., Clippers looking to close out the Jazz at home. They lead the series 3-2 as well. Tomorrow, Game 7, Bucks-Nets. It's an 8:30 p.m. start time in Brooklyn after Milwaukee was able to avoid the closeout last night in Milwaukee. There was some Heat news today. We discussed it earlier on in the show. Shane Battier leaving his full-time front office position with the Miami Heat. He'll still do some consulting work with the organization, but he no longer is a full-time front office member for the organization. And the Celtics, they traded Kemba Walker to Oklahoma City. The Thunder send Al Horford and some other picks involved in the trade as well to Boston right now. England, Scotland still tied 0-0, 60th minute of that game. And Los Madelines, they'll begin a 3-game series tonight in Chicago. They'll play the Cubs. First pitch tonight is an 8:05 p.m. scheduled start. Your U.S. Open leaderboard update. It's brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf Shops, home with a 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee, serving golfers around the country since 1968. Not much action atop the U.S. Open leaderboard right now. It's still Richard Bland. Very bland day over at the U.S. Open. He's at 5 under. He shot a 67 today to take control of the lead. Russell Henley still second right now, 1 stroke behind at 4 under par. That's brought to you by Edwin Watts. And your weather from the Demesman and Dover Accident Attorney Weather Center. Call 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. 88 degrees, still very cloudy. Hoping for clear skies this Father's Day weekend. That's your weather.
We don't have clear skies. We have a dark water sky.
Do you?
We have a dark water sky that is stretching all around Miami Shores.
Well, hopefully this weekend
it'll be
better. That way you can make your burger.
El Portal.
Yeah. They have a dark water sky. right now. I don't know what it looks like in Kendall, but here in El Portal, it's a dark water sky.
He hasn't even looked outside, Joe. He just talks.
I think England and Scotland, by the way, I think that's a big rivalry.
It is.
Right?
Yes, it is.
My, you know what I'm going to do, Channing, on my bucket list? I'm an okay soccer fan. My daughter is a, because she was a soccer player.
Yeah, she played, right?
So she likes soccer, so it's one of the ways we bond. This Euro Cup thing, it could be a lot of fun if you were to go around Europe on a train from, you know, country to country and city to city when it's full go, 100% capacity, with all these loons that go to these games.
And you ride on a train?
Yeah, you ride the train, and then you go to these games. These people, I mean, they have all these songs and chants, and they drink a lot of beer. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
You got me with the beer. I went to El Clasico one time.
Oh, you did? Ooh, in Spain?
No. Here. When it was here. Joe, I couldn't even see the game. I was right. I was looking in the crowd. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
I think it'd be pretty wild.
Hell, anyway. they have some pride. Oh now. Yeah. Yeah, they get after with their teams.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to jump into this college football playoff format. Matt Marischal of the Orlando Sentinel is going to join us. The college football playoff committee met today, so they are getting closer and closer, I think, to making this whole thing official. We'll talk with Matt about the college football playoff when we come back right here on the show. Hawk and Crowder brought to you by Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores, truly steps beyond convenient.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
School is so stupid. I hate to be this guy, but you don't need to know anything anymore. Google knows everything.
Hawk and Crowder.
Yesterday, we had a very spirited conversation on the college football playoff proposal, and Solana said, hey, let's talk a little bit more about that today. The other night on the Hurricane Hotline, we had Matt Marischal with us from the Orlando Sentinel, did a great job. And so I thought, hey, this would be another good opportunity to talk about the college football playoff. The committee met again today. And Matt, thanks for being with us. But it seems like they are going full steam ahead now with this proposal, and that soon it's going to be reality.
Yeah, it is exactly. I mean, they met the last 2 days to discuss the proposal. It looks like that this is the one that they feel the most comfortable moving forward with. I mean, there's still some aspects of it I think they want to kind of look at and maybe get their thoughts and ideas. The next step is they want to talk with their athletic directors, and presidents and coaches among their conference memberships, and they want to figure out what sort of problems do they have with it? What do they feel like maybe are maybe some concerns? And then they'll take it to the presidents of the playoff management group of board of trustees, and then they'll move from there and decide whether or not this is the proposal to move forward with.
And Matt, is this? And I'm not saying it negative, but this is just about money, right? Like the NFL added a 17th game. It's just about money. They don't need a 17th game. This is just about money, correct?
Well, I don't know if it's just about money. I think a lot of this has to do with the access. I think the biggest issue that people have had with the 14 playoff, the current model, is that there just hasn't been enough access for teams. And I think the concern is that college football is almost as popular as the NFL. In some cases, it's more popular. And this idea that you're getting fans now who aren't tuning into these games because as the seasons go on, they feel like it's going to be the same four teams. That's a concern. And they feel like they got to find a way to address this concern. And they're looking at an opportunity to do 12 teams. Yes, they could have expanded to 6 or 8, but they feel like 12 is the best model. Now 12 is going to get them to that 17 game essentially model. And again, that's going to be more money. Believe me, when the biggest hurdle that's going to face this model is, they're going to have to go to the ESPN or whoever it's going to be and say, we're going to need more money to host this 12-team playoff. And it's going to be a lot more money than it was before. So, yes, money is going to play a huge factor. But I think the biggest push among all of this has been access.
Well, Matt, what you are going to hear is, okay, we're going to have a lot of national people say, all right, we're asking these kids who aren't paid, which that's a whole different discussion. But nonetheless, one of the narratives is going to be, you're going to ask them to play more games. What are they going to get out of it? So how are the players going to be impacted, negatively or positively?
Well, I think, it's going to be interesting because I think, you would look right off the bat, you're saying, okay, it's more games, so some of these players are going to have to go longer. And it's going to be a little bit more wear and tear on their bodies, So I think that's got to be a discussion with some of the athletes. But then on the other hand, you're going to look at the fact that the new name, image, and likeness bills, which are being passed all across the country, you know, at several states, including here in Florida, which go into effect on July 1st, there are opportunities for these players to make some money. And the more games they're in and the more high-stakes games they're in, it's probably going to help their the money they can make through the NIL. So, you know, there's going to be opportunities to have some money. Not everyone's going to cash in on that. So I think it's going to be a delicate balance, you know. And I think if I'm looking at this model, I think I would say you're definitely going to have to add an additional bye week into the schedule. You got to have two bye weeks at least. You got to be able to give these players an opportunity to rest here or there. And I think also you're going to have to look at expanding the rosters a little bit. I think you're going to have to add a little more scholarships because you're going to have to be able to use more depth and add additional, additional depth to different aspects of your team. So I think those are things that the schools are going to have to look at. And it's going to be very much like the model of the NFL. You're going to have to find a way to add more players in a sense to help out to kind of alleviate some of those issues.
And Matt, are the 12 teams going to be picked the same way the four teams are with a committee where they were, you know, finding the top four that they think deserve it? Now they're just going to 12, or is any of that side going to adjust on how they do decide which teams are getting in the now expanded playoffs?
Well, you know, it's going to be at this point, it's going to be the top six conference champions will get in, and then they'll have six at-large bids. And those will all be decided by the 13-member selection committee. And it'll be interesting. They haven't talked anything about whether or not that committee will change, whether they'll add more members, whether they'll add different criteria. I know there have been some who've pushed this idea of maybe having a fan or some fans on the committee or anything like that. I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but I think they want to keep it as much like they have it right now, streamlined as possible. But they are going to be able to sit down and look at that. So the top four conference champions, highest-ranked conference champions, will get those byes. And then everyone else, you know, will have that opportunity to play in the first round of the playoffs. So what's going to be interesting is, you know, how does the committee look at teams like from the group of five? You know, I mean, it's great. You have some teams like Cincinnati this past year that were ranked as high as eighth, you know, in the college football playoff ranking. Will they continue to have teams in the group of five ranked that high, or will they automatically get to that 12th spot? Will they just kind of will the committee think, okay, we'll just put them in that 12th spot and they'll always be at the end of the 12 teams? So that's going to be something that's going to be a concern. I'm sure the committee is not going to admit that, but that's something that I think if I'm a conference like the American or the Sun Belt or something like that, I would be concerned that your teams are going to get opportunities maybe to host playoff games, because that's going to mean a lot of money and a lot of revenue for some of the for not only the league itself but for these schools that are selling out these games.
So the top six conferences, does that mean it's the top five, the Power Five, the winners of the Power Five, then plus one of the group of five?
No, it's the top. It's going to be the six highest ranked conference champions. So yes, more than likely you'll get the top five from the Power Five, and then you'll have like a group of five conference that'll be included in there as well. So that's kind of the way that they're looking at things, and that means then those four highest ranked of those would go and get the one through four, the bye, you know, the bye situations where they wouldn't have to play a first round game. So does it favor the Power Five? Sure. You know, there's going to more likely you're going to see a lot. And at large spots, you're probably going to see more teams. There's probably going to be opportunities for the SEC to get three or four teams in this model, or ACC get three or four teams in this model. But again, I think having more access also opens the door to having more teams that maybe you wouldn't necessarily be seeing in the playoffs. We could have seen a Florida or a Texas A&M this year, or we could have saw a Cincinnati or an Iowa State. You know, there are going to be some teams that normally wouldn't be competing for a playoff spot. Now they're going to have opportunities to do it as well.
And another thing, too, is the players. There's like nowadays guys are opting out, where when I played, nobody opted out. You played in whatever the hell bowl you earned. But now guys are looking, say, I'm not playing in the Cheez-It Bowl. This will encourage the 12th team to play because you legit have a chance to win a ring and be a national champion. I think that would be effective, correct?
Oh, very much so. I mean, I think I've spoken to several conference commissioners who said that's obviously a concern. Is with the current model is that you have a lot of players who are opting out, deciding not to play. They want to get ready for the NFL. Now this model basically means if you're within the top 15, 16 spots, you know, going into that last couple weeks, you're playing your heart out. You want to get in that top 12. If you're in the top 12, you want to keep playing because you don't know what's going to happen. You know, and not only that, you're going to be playing that first round game, most likely, depending on where you're ranked, you're going to be playing that at home in front of your home crowd. So, you know, as a player, you don't want to, you're not going to skip that game. You're going to want to continue to play and continue to move forward on that. So I think this keeps the top players active as much as they can be. I think it keeps fan interest active. We know television is going to be all over it. So I just think it's going to add a different element and make the game a little more interesting to watch in the next couple of years.
How do the Bulls get wrapped into this?
Well, that's going to be interesting because I think the Bulls themselves have a big question mark because, yes, you know, they're going to host the quarterfinals and you're going to host semifinals, but you imagine those are going to be those elite Bulls again. Those are going to be the Rose Bowl. You know, those are going to be like the Sugar and you know, the Orange Bowl. Those Bulls are going to probably be involved in that process. Bulls outside of those top Bulls, how are they going to be involved in this? They're still getting the top-tier teams outside of the top 12. But, again, I think the lower-ranked Bulls, the Bulls that are, you know, clearly at the bottom, lower-tier ones, they're going to have trouble. I think you're going to see some of those games go away. I would think, and this is something that's been talked about a little bit, is there be a push to move those games to the start of the season? Maybe do those like neutral site games or games that you can kick off the season with on a Labor Day weekend. You know, imagine having these bowls at the front end of things and giving those opportunities to players. I think that's a better situation rather than just making them go away altogether.
That's what I would do. I'd move some of those games to the beginning of the season. I changed it. We played in Shreveport. I'd call that the Riverboat Bowl or something. You know, there's a big riverboat there. I would change the name of those bowl games, and I was talking with the CEO from the Peach Bowl the other day, and he was talking about Miami and Alabama, and he said when they came up with the idea of the Chick-fil-A kickoff game a couple years ago, he said it was like he compared it to the Daytona Beach Daytona 500. He said the race the Daytona 500. It's like the great kickoff for that season, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the Super Bowl of that season. Yeah. And so that's the direction I would go in if I was some of those bowl games.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what college football needs, is just to have some – it already has a lot of interest. So kick it off with some big games, have some big matchups. And then, and again, there could be some big paydays as well. We know some of these neutral site games, like you mentioned, the Chick-fil-A Kickoff Classic, it generates a lot of money. They're big paydays. If you can do the same sort of thing for some of these schools, it's going to make the bowl people be happy. It's going to make the schools happy, and it helps the conferences as well get some more exposure out there.
You came out with your top 20 the other day, top 25. Where did you have Channing Crowder's Gators?
The Gators. I had the Gators ranked in the top 15. I mean, I know that they're definitely a program that, you know, you look at what Dan Mullen has been able to do, you know, over the last couple of years. You know, the biggest question mark is going to be a quarterback. You know, you lose a guy like Kyle Trask, who had a great season last year, a wonderful season, had a lot, and you lose Kyle Pitts. You know, but again, Emory Jones has been there. He's much like Trask, has been a guy who's been kind of waiting on the bench, learning and kind of honing his skills. So he's a guy that's going to step in there. I think, you know, you have a couple spots that you got to work on and replace. But overall, this is a team that continues to be right there. They're going to have a challenge, though. I mean, Georgia's obviously doing everything it can to get back to win the East. And, you know, you look at the fact that JT Daniels comes back for them, and you look at the fact that they've added some key pieces. So it's going to be a challenge. But I think Florida could be right there again, competing for the SEC East again.
And you had the University of Miami inside your top 10. You had them number 9?
Yes, I had them at number 9. They were, you know, again, this is you look at Miami. Miami's done some good things over the last couple of years. I think that Manny Diaz, obviously adding some key pieces to the transfer portal. De'Aaron King's health coming back is going to be a key point, but it appears that he's going to be 100%. They've got enough talent there. You look at the ACC, you know, I think, you know, the Coastal Division, obviously there's going to be some challenges, but there's a possibility to win there as well. Clemson is going to be the team to beat. So, you know, Miami's going to have a challenge, but I think they've got enough talent around them that I think they can make a push. And I think last year was a good kind of precursor of what they're trying to do.
And this is Matt, you're a football guy. I know you. I've read your stuff before. This damn Tim Tebow still chasing pipe dreams. Is he ever a chance to touch the field in the NFL ever again?
You know, I think that's going to be interesting. I think, obviously, skill-wise, I kind of really look at the situation like, listen, he's got to really wow me. Because if he doesn't wow me, I'm not sure why I give up a spot for him. You know what I mean? Because there's tons of talent out there. And it's nothing against Tim Tebow. I mean, it's more about his age and where he's at. You know what I mean? Why would you give up a spot for a player who's younger and maybe faster just to have a guy that you kind of, if you're Urban Meyer, that you like, or he's a guy that you believe will be a good factor in your locker room? You know, I understand that. But to me, he's got to be a guy that if he's not out there catching every ball and he's not out there impressing me, and he's blocking well. I'm not sure if he's going to be out there. He should be out there every time. But again, he's such a, you know, Urban Meyer likes him, understands him. But if that's the case, then bring him on as a coach. Bring him on as you know, some aspect of the team where he can help out. Because I just, you know, again, unless he's just wowing me, I just can't see how Tim Tebow makes this team.
Yeah, and they say leadership, Matt, where you can't lead from a fourth-string tight end position. So I keep telling people that. Nobody's following the fourth-string tight end. What about Urban? Because I was down with the Dolphins when Saban came and failed the NFL. Failed terribly, went to fighting with players because he disrespects people. Do you – you know, I know you're – you know, you were close. You're right there in Orlando. You follow the Gators. Do you think Urban can make that transition to the NFL?
Yeah, I think he can. You know, I think the key for him is going to be the people he puts around him. You know, I mean, I think he needs to have people around him that have not just the college experience, but also have the NFL experience. You know, I think it's a different game. You know this. It's a different game from college to pros. You know, and college, you could tell a kid, listen, I know you're a five-star and from Alabama or whatever, but here you're just going to be, you know, we're all working together for one thing. It's a little different in the NFL ranks. And I think Urban, you know, if the system works, and he's able to get the locker room to buy in what he's trying to do, and everyone loves what he's doing, and he feels like that they're making the right choices, then I think he's got an opportunity. But we talk about with Tim Tebow. There's a perfect example. If a lot of the team doesn't think Tim Tebow deserves to be on the squad, and he puts Tebow on the squad, that could fracture that locker room, and it could cause some of those players to not maybe respect him as much. So I think that's going to be Urban's thing. He's going to have guys on his staff that can help relate well. He's going to have to make sure he understands that it's a big difference, and he's going to have to adjust. I think that's the biggest thing. Some of these college coaches, you mentioned Saban, they don't want to adjust. They get to where they're at. They think, I've been doing this for so many years. This is how we do it. You've got to be able to adjust, because I think the game itself changes and morphs every couple of years. That's what Urban's going to have to do as well.
All right, Matt, thank you very much for taking the time to join us. We greatly appreciate it. Hope to see you in Charlotte for the ACC Media Days.
All right. We'll look forward to it, guys. You guys take care, okay?
All right. That's Matt Marischal joining us from the Orlando Sentinel. Matt, of course, on the Toyota Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. All right. So that's a little news on the college football playoff. This is not good. I got a text here. Spill anything today?
Uh-oh.
Who busted me?
Joe's, you got caught.
Was she listening? No way.
Who busted me on this one?
Joe, it's over for you. Follow me home, man. I got the guest.
What do you
room,
have for
baby.
Dinner tonight?
I got the guest. What we got? It's Friday night,
pizza
man.
Night? Pizza
yeah,
night?
Yeah, we'll have something Friday, good on pizza Friday night. Nights. Okay. Yeah. Right. Got plenty of Funky Buddha, man. I got you, Joe.
All right, that's
crib.
All we need. Following you home, Funky Buddha Floridian.
Got you.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Cerveza, cerveza, cerveza.
Hawk and Crowder.
Father's Day on Sunday, I'm going to have the prime burger, 6 ounces, mm-hmm. warm bacon bourbon jam.
Ooh, that sounds good, Joe.
American cheese, sliced pickles, some roasted tomato, maybe some caramelized onions right on that brioche roll.
Oh.
And you?
I'm going brioche too, Joe. I love them brioche rolls are special now. Yeah, lightly toasted.
Lightly toasted.
But Joe, I'm going with the Juicy Lucy. I'm going with the ground veal with the blue cheese already mixed into it. But then two patties separate, put blue cheese in between, make a little burger explosion of cheese inside the patty.
That's
connection.
A good term, explosion.
Oh, my goodness. With all of the veal and the blue cheese. Then you got the bacon. You got the jalapenos and spicy mayo to give it that kick. Some ketchup. Oh, my goodness. I love it.
So if you're going to talk, you know, food and be like one of those chefs, you have to use words like explosion and savory.
Oh, that's a good one.
Right, savory. But there's nothing savory about a hamburger.
I don't even know what savory means, Joe.
Savory means, you know, delicious, very, very delicious.
Burgers can be delicious.
Well, it can be, but savory is kind of sweet or whatever. It's just like having a nice topping on it.
Yeah, I've actually used the word, but yeah, I had to be honest with you, Joe. I don't know.
Or you could say you had some savory stats.
Oh, yeah.
Robust.
You're a wordsmith. That's what you do. You're a wordsmith.
We work on it a little bit. Yeah. Where's the invisible man?
Only the shadow knows.
Is he there? Wait, if we pot him up, is this? Are we asking for trouble? Is he there?
I'm here.
Asleep?
No, I'm here. I'm here. I was just ordering a turkey burger on Uber Eats, Joe. Just getting ready for my Father's Day celebration.
What were we supposed to ask, Joe? Only the shadow knows.
Go ahead. You have 8 minutes.
Yeah, Joe.
You know, I do.
Okay.
I had an electrician at my house the other day. In the middle of the job, he asked me, he said, do you want some pizza? Huh? And I said, what? And I thought I didn't hear him correctly. Like, you have pizza in your truck? What do you mean? And sure enough, 2 minutes later, Uber Eats arrives at my house.
The electrician ordered Uber Eats to your address?
Yes. Oh, that was his lunch break. He had a big pizza out on my patio.
Out of on your nice. Patio?
Yeah.
I'd have dove on him.
Damnest thing I've ever seen.
We would have had some consequences and repercussions, Joe.
What the hell?
Did you have a slice?
No, I did not. I was looking at the clock. Are we on the clock here?
That's what I was thinking. You better not be paying for your lunch break, sir.
Joe,
yes,
do you know what evil lurks in the hearts of men?
I do not. Only the shadow knows.
You know that?
Is that true?
Do you know know that show or whatever? It was like a radio show from 1940s.
I have heard of it. Yes. Was I around 1940? No.
Close.
Are you insinuating?
Hawk kept telling us about this 1940s show, Only the Shadow Knows or something. And he was like, hey, Joe's coming on the end of the week. Ask him. I bet he knows, because we were making fun of him the whole week.
Those old radio shows were the best. They had sound effects and everything. Only the Shadow Knows.
So yes,
in a very deep radio Orson Welles like voice.
Orson Welles, that's another voice we got, song we heard.
Frank Reedick, that's who voiced the Shadow. Frank Reedick, are you familiar?
I am not. I missed on that one, swing and a miss. But I can sort of hear it.
Only the Shadow Knows.
We should have pulled that audio up.
Is Batman half man, half bat?
Why do you always ask that question? Pow. I like the old Batman and Robin when it was on in the... You ever see those old Batman and Robin reruns from the 60s?
When they shoot up the little noises?
Yeah, that was funny.
I've seen it.
Batman is, to me, not half bat. He's just all... I mean, he's got superpowers somehow.
He doesn't have superpowers, Joe.
He has a
utility belt. He's a normal guy.
He's rich. That's what he is.
His parents got killed in an alleyway.
He's got a lot of exotic toys that have superpowers.
That's all it is.
But I don't think he has anything to do with a bat.
He had a little cave, I think.
Oh, okay.
He didn't get bit by a radioactive bat and become half bat?
Not like Spider-Man where he was bit by a spider.
Oh, okay. Well, you're going to have to take that one up with Hawk. I think
Hawk is wrong on that.
A couple more questions here, Joe. Just things we've discussed over the past week or so here on the Hockman and Crowder show. You know, we get down to the pressing issues here on this show. Do you pronounce it coupon or coupon?
Coupon.
Q. So you say the letter coupon.
Coupon. Yeah, coupon. That's the winning. That's the way to say it. Coupon.
Oh, coupon, Joe.
Not coupon.
Because it's COUP, like coupe, like a car.
No, coupon. You have the coupon, not coupon.
Coupon.
You have the coupon.
The coupon.
Coupon.
Phonetically, it's coupon.
But it's coupon.
I'm sorry, we asked you a question and we argued, but yeah, we did about a half an hour of that.
You did. This is like dueling banjos here.
We're going to have to ask DBJ that one to get a final ruling there. DBJ, Joe Z, gourmet donuts, like Mojo Donuts or the Salty Donut, or chain donuts, so your Dunkin' or your Krispy Kreme or your Tim Hortons. Which do you prefer, gourmet donuts or just your normal old-fashioned chain donut?
Wait a minute. This is a little bit of a curveball. I said last week I went in the Publix to get a jelly donut, and they did not have any. And now I know why. It's the supply chain.
What?
Yeah, it's all part of the supply chain. Jelly donuts fall into that category of things that you can't get, like lumber. You couldn't get lumber for a while.
Joe.
Now you can't get jelly donuts. It's the supply chain.
Like we couldn't get masks and gloves?
Yeah, supply chain.
So they're running out of jelly and donuts?
It's just stuck somewhere in the supply chain. It's all about the supply chain. That's why the stock market's having a little bit of trouble also. Inflation, supply and demand. There was a lot of demand for jelly donuts. There's no supply. So to answer your question, I'm all about Krispy Kreme or Dunkin' Donuts, primarily Krispy Kreme. In fact, I'll raise my hand and tell you I am guilty of, they were giving you free donuts after you got your vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happened to be in the neighborhood, so I said, what the hell? Give me a jelly donut.
You go to Krispy Kreme and get jelly, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Dandy Donuts, they have one on Hollywood Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that falls under.
That's gourmet, I believe.
They have great donuts. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, I just think you like donuts. Now you just said you like all of them. You like Publix, you like Dunkin', Krispy Kreme, Dandy.
Here's why. When my grandmother in Philadelphia, her next door neighbor, his name was Eddie Zabrowski. She lived in a Polish neighborhood. However, I only knew him as Eddie the Baker because everybody in that neighborhood, their last name was their job.
Hmm.
Like he was Eddie the Baker. There was also Charlie the Undertaker. I always thought his last name was Undertaker. And I always thought Eddie's last name was Baker. It just was that he had a bakery.
Wow.
Right next door.
That's cool.
It's kind of like how we call Crowder the butt foot because he has a butt on his foot.
Yeah, well, they don't call me that, but I do have butt meat on my foot, Joe.
We had that conversation earlier during a commercial.
Nothing wrong with a good skin graft, Joe.
So coupon, huh?
Coupon, jelly donuts, all good with going to Krispy Kreme or Dunkin' Donuts. But isn't Dunkin' Donuts promoting more about coffee now?
They dropped the donuts. They dropped donuts.
So it's only Dunkin'. There's one in our neighborhood, a Dunkin' Donuts in our neighborhood. I see Crowder there all the time.
Yep. Ride my golf cart up there with the kids. Yes, sir.
This is the last one here.
Go ahead.
Last one, Joe.
Is it a good one?
It is. It is. So, I saved the best for last.
So far, I feel like this segment's been like an energy vampire.
Oh, geez. This is all I prepared all week. So, I mean, you know, this is all the effort I put into this segment. So okay. I would say it's going well then based on what you just called Does Joe Zagacki walk around his house barefoot or does Joe Zagacki have house slippers?
That's a good, not slippers, shoes, just house slippers,
you know.
The answer to that is primarily barefoot.
Joe.
But I have slides.
But yeah, slides.
I wear slides.
In the house.
In the house.
Like flip flaps.
Yes.
Okay.
Not flip flops, just the slides.
The ones just slide.
Yes.
The flip flaps.
Correct.
Yeah, because Hawk walks around his house just barefoot, meat foot on tile, and that's disgusting to me.
Well, I have the slides.
Yes.
Every now and then, yes, I will walk barefooted, but
yeah, in the middle of the night, go grab a drink. Okay,
that's if I leave my slides someplace else. So, now, I will tell you, here's what I did the other day, real fast. Now, do you have a grocery list in your house for you and your wife? On the refrigerator,
yeah.
So, my wife told me the other night, put something on the list. I say something because I was on my phone, I think I was texting with Solana about the show. So I heard what she said. Mm-hmm. I did hear what she said, but I was preoccupied with texting. I'm going to blame Solana. Then when it was over, when I got done figuring out what we were going to do on the show, I didn't put whatever she wanted me to put on the list.
Oh.
So then I went to the list and I wrote some item that I forgot.
Joe.
Some item that I forgot. And she went to the grocery list and said, what the hell is this? But got a good laugh at it. And I said, I figured you would be able to decode it.
And figure it out.
You would be able to decode it. That you told me to put something on there. Obviously, I did not remember what it was. So I just wrote on the list some item that I forgot.
Love the honesty.
Yeah, and as a married man, married men out there can appreciate
you,
that
I think
joke.
It worked really well.
You get a little laugh out of kind of putting your
some
wife.
Some item that I forgot.
You put your wife on the back burner, what happened, but you made it up with a nice
and
little
cute
joke.
And I just figured that she would look at it and say, well, that's typical, he forgot. And it was supposed to be bacon or something.
That's cool. I love me some bacon, too.
All right, there you go. We're running late. Back with the code word after this, right?
Let's do the code word now. It's
501. Do the code word right now?
Yeah let's knock out the code
Otherwise,
word.
Otherwise,
yeah.
The legal department will get mad at me, and then I won't be invited back.
Okay.
We are giving you a chance to win $1,000 ballpark cash on the ticket, $1,000 home run on the Joe, $1,000 for you to spend wherever you want. This hour's word is paper. That's paper, like the paper I am reading the word off of, paper. Text it to 72881, and you are entered in the contest. You might win $1,000. Text the word paper to 72881, and you could be $1,000 richer. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Sponsored by Andajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Solo El Shadow knows.
Hawk and Crowder. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.